Welcome to the ease and amusement of conscious living. So whether you're here for curiosity or you know me or whatever, it's we've got about 45 minutes to get to know one another a little better. So I do see people I don't know. So my name is Cass Thomas, Cass Thomas Corbelli. I'm born in Boston, Massachusetts. I've lived in Paris. I currently live in Rome, Italy, and I've been living there for about 15 years. I travel about two and a half to three weeks out of the month, and I have lots of jobs and work and play a lot and speak a few languages and just am aware of living a phenomenal life and aware of being really dumber than dirt, as Gary says, and having a lot of fun with that. So I'm hoping today, in this 45 minutes that we have together, to share a little bit of how I use the access tools, how I've been using them for about 8 years now, to create some of the magic in my life and to get out of my head, which was really like I could just get that out of access and it would, I'd be fine. And I have done that. And you know how you don't realize you've done something till like you've already done it and you're like, hey, I don't do that anymore. So, and I thought I was the only one that had all that mind chatter going on all the time, like that sort of, it wasn't even a monologue, it was like a dialogue, you know, or like a group conversation type of thing. So not just about entities, just about, you know, picking up other people's thoughts also and just very interested in what other people were thinking, how I was thinking in relation to them, and I don't do that anymore. And I was actually conscious of the day, I don't know if it was the day that I stopped doing that, but it was definitely a day when I wasn't doing it on a public bus in Rome, like this, and I wasn't in anybody else's universe because I was so busy with the what do you perceive, no be and receive that would allow you to perceive, no be and receive everything you're not willing to perceive, no be and receive. I was pulling out my paper and I was looking for that, and it was, the bus ride was halfway over, and I had been bumped by people and maybe snarled at or other things, and I didn't care. I was like, oh, excuse me. And I wasn't in anyone's universe. And I was like, oh, wow. After that was, yeah, that was like after 40 years on the planet. I'll be 50 next year. And I'm like, I'm freaking thrilled to have me, you know, and to be in my life. So the stuff works. That I can tell you. And I know you guys know it. But just in case you do forget it. And it's something that a lot of people have. It's the mind chatter in their minds and the dialogue or the monologue or the group conversation. And with the questions, the thing about the ease and amusement is I can laugh at it now. And it's really one of the great gifts that I have to that I've received also from Access to be able to laugh at all the silly intellectual things I used to do. And sometimes, you know, see that little switch where you could go into them, and I'm like, that, remember when I used to do that? That's so cute. And I see other people doing it, and I'm not like, oh, she's a bitch, or oh, poor thing. It's like, oh, wow, yeah, I get you. I know what that's about. Excuse me, I got to go do something else. 'Cause, you know, and just not choosing it, you know. And so... So I'm really grateful for these tools and how that works in life and in relationship and in money and in business and in politics. So I'd love to share some of that with you. And if you guys have any questions, we can clear some of that stuff as well if you have any of that going on in your life. So I work with Access. I work for Access. I'm the language coordinator, and when things are coming out in different languages, I'm coordinating that. I started Access in Italy about 8 years ago, and which is already a humongous accomplishment. Because everything that happens in Italy happens in Italian, right? So, and also, you know, I'm in Rome, and There's this huge building in Rome, right, with this guy with this strange hat in it. I don't know if you've ever seen it or heard of him, the Pope. And and the building, St. Peter's, and there's a lot of stuff. They're not looking for consciousness necessarily. So I, you know, in my Pollyanna sort of way, didn't was like, oh, you know, they do exorcisms, we do exorcisms. What's the problem, right? So I actually read in the paper that, you know, that after a while doing access there, and you know. Entity clearings, and Shannon had come, and she like ran screaming out of the town her first time there. Ah! And she was in the Colosseum, and she just, you know, every time she's in Rome, and it's quite intense. Gary says about Rome that there's no past, present, and future. Like you see the people in chariots, and you see walking down the street, and you see the people in armors, and you see the gladiators, and you see the woman in the Gucci, and you see the woman in the Valentino, and then you see, you know, the Roman garb, and so there's no past, present, and future there. So I sort of picked a really interesting city to start, and the thing about Italy is I didn't really grow up religiously. I was reading Jane Roberts, Seth Speaks, I don't know if that ever made it over here, about channeling in the 70s. And so I didn't grow up religiously. However, I was always seeking. I was always, you know, interested in consciousness and, you know, trying to find that sometimes in the wrong places. Dane says he grew up in the ghetto. I grew up in the ghetto as well, and I'm really actually thankful for that. Because I've been, you know, in the top restaurants around the world also, as well, and have a sort of ambidextrous 360 degrees take on things, and the energy of the anger that is in the ghetto is found in so many atmospheres and so many situations. I was talking to somebody who was talking to me about gangsters, and I was asking, so what's the energy of the gangster? You know, and they were in a different country completely. And they said, it's actually the energy of, you know, the rap artists. So all the gangsters all over the world are duplicating that energy of the ghetto. And so, and I have done so much all of my life before meeting Access to block that out. And I actually was making myself physically blind by blocking that out. I had contracted this really interesting disease that there is no cure for, of course, and of course it's from my parents, but it's, of course, they don't really have it. So it's, you know, just like really, I'm an artist, so I just like mixed chromosomes and came up with my own thing. And the doctor said, well, you probably, you should be blind by the time you're 5. And so I was trying my damnedest, and it didn't happen, so I just started smoking dope, smoking pot, and trying to, you know, block out my vision that way. And that didn't work, so I started smoking cigarettes. And so, you know, and then, you know, just as much fog as I could put in front of me not to feel the pain. And the anger and of what was in front of me. And so whatever drug we're using or whatever unconsciousness we're using or whatever we all are using to try and blind ourselves, literally or figuratively, and not see the anger and the pain that so much of this world functions from. Can we destroy and uncreate all that? Yeah. Right, wrong, good, bad, all nine, pod, poc, short, boys, and beyonds. So I'm obviously not completely blind, and at actually seeing better and better as time goes on, and reversing this very interesting condition of blindness and ignorance and blocking out. And Access came along. And Gary said to me in a class, my second maybe level 2 and 3, right before a facilitator's class about 6 years ago, I said to Gary, you know, I've got this condition in the class, you know, with my eyes and blah, blah, blah. And he was like, does that fucking feel light to you? And everyone was like, no. And I was like, look, I got the paperwork to prove this stuff. You know, it's like, this, you know, this is real stuff. I mean, I'm not talking about the light and fluffy stuff, everyone else. I'm talking about real, you know, chromosomes and stuff. And he said, does that feel light to you? And I was like, this guy's like, you know, it doesn't have to feel light. It's written. It, you know, the doctor said it. And he said, does that feel light to you? It's like, okay, no. And he was like, so it's a lie. And I was like, so what's up with my vision? And he said, "How? When's the last time you've been in your fucking body? You know, Gary, he likes the F word, so I'll just use it too. When's the last time you were in your fucking body? And I was like, wow. Wow, maybe, I don't know. And so, of course, I left the class that day and bumped into everything. Fell in the shower. You know, just bumped into absolutely everything. You know, like, really, this accident. I came, like, with patches on my head and stuff the next day. And I was with this amazing couple from San Francisco, Casey and David. And he said to me something very interesting. You know, you can travel, Cass, without leaving your body. You can go over to the park. You can go and see what's happening in Boston and Australia and different, without ever leaving your body. So everywhere we felt we had to leave our body, abandon our body to travel. Everywhere we've enjoyed being somewhere else more than we've enjoyed being where we are, for whatever reason, and we've left our bodies alone, and unguardianed, could we now make a choice to travel and stay in our bodies at the same time? Yes. And everything that doesn't allow that, we destroy and uncreate all that. Yes. Right, wrong, good, bad, all nine, pod, puck, short, boys, and beyonds. So not wanting to see, not wanting to be in my body, and whatever I did see, wanting a smoke screen in front of it. And then again, here's the tools of access. So with some of the tools of access, what I one of the huge things was for me being an allowance of what other people choose. You know, there's a large part of the ghetto, as Dane calls it, which is about drugs. There's so many. There's a brilliant woman in Access, Marilyn Bradford, who does something called Right Recovery for You. I believe she'll be coming over to Europe soon. And it's about addiction, and it's about the use of drugs and a use of alcohol as a secondary dependence, dependency. But the primary dependency is about the wrongness of you, she says, and self-judgment. And so most of the people she encounters that are doing alcohol and drugs are humanoids. That just don't want to deal with this reality, that just haven't found any place in this reality that works for them, right? So so they put up screens. I did a session about 4 years ago with Dane. I was in a room, and I was on the table, and it was in Ireland, and I was smoking at the time, and he started driving into me about the smoking and about, you know, this woman doesn't fit in anywhere. she's such a misfit that she doesn't even fit in with the smokers, and she smokes like a truck driver or a chimney or whatever, or a turkey, whatever the, you know, your expression is here. I don't know what. And so 6 months later, I did another session, and after 30 years, I stopped smoking after that session. And I stopped smoking because I didn't require anymore the smoke screen. And everyone asked me, how'd you stop smoking? And I would ask the question, can they hear the truth? Or can I, you know, and I, if they couldn't, I'd just say, oh, I read a book, or, you know, or there was a book out at the time. But if they could hear the truth, if they were willing to hear the truth, and it doesn't matter if it's smoking, it doesn't matter if it's alcohol, it doesn't matter if it's cutting yourself, it doesn't matter if it's lying to yourself, or whatever it is that you use to not see what is, right? I guess I should call this about seeing, this class, as opposed to ease and amusement, but it amuses me all the different ways that I didn't. Whatever it is that you use to not see, it doesn't really work, right? Because even if the smoke screen's there, it still is. So it's so much easier on your body and on your being to see it than to pretend it's not happening, you know? And, you know, I grew up in a family masters of pretending things aren't happening, you know? So whatever it is that you're not willing to see, you're not willing to hear, because we also could do the deaf thing, right? You're not willing to recognize. And when I facilitate classes, and I call it the elephant in the room, you know, it's like everyone's opening up the windows, they're like going around the edge of the room and talking about, hi, how are you today? And, you know, like no room to move because there's this huge elephant, you know, and the stinks. But nobody will mention the elephant, you know. That's the house I grew up in. My mom, my sister, and my dad, for 6 years, and, you know, it was a two-story house, so they could sort of avoid, didn't say hello. Didn't say hello. Nobody mentioned it. People would come over. They'd be in the same room. You know, no one mentioned it, you know. So you start thinking that this stuff is normal, that what is frickin' absurd is normal. And people are saying one thing, and you're like, yeah, that's not what's happening. But you start believing it's true. So you start, you know, saying the same thing, or saying the same thing, or saying the same thing, or whatever it is. So everywhere where we're not willing to see something, and everywhere we know what our drug of choice is, right, our way of ignoring it, of choices, and everywhere we... Anywhere we think it's better to not see than to see, can we destroy and uncreate all that? Yes. Yeah, right, wrong, good, bad, all nine, pod, poc, short, boys, and beyonds. Yeah, so I started, I stopped smoking, and I started seeing stuff. And I started seeing better, actually. And I started hearing better. And I started not judging me. Because what happens is you start seeing what you didn't see, and then you have a choice. I always think, you know, you have this choice. You could say, wow, look how long I was doing that. Wow, how silly I was for doing that for so long. Can't believe that I would have chosen that. You know, I must really be stupid. I mean, you could just keep going, and then you're still not seeing because you're too busy in the past about how, right, how stupid you were, and then you're still not present. You know what I mean? So that's one choice. To go back, go into the past. Another choice is to create new stuff and new ways of not seeing. And, you know, yet a third choice is to just say, wow, now what do I choose? So another one of those fabulous tools of access, right? So that was cute for 10 seconds. Now what do I choose? And to look and to see that you are so amazing that you can choose consciousness, and you can choose unconsciousness, and then you could choose consciousness, and you could choose unconsciousness. And you're like, how versatile am I? I can be stupid, I could be smart, I could be all of that together, right? So if you're able to look at yourself and laugh at yourself and have fun with yourself and have fun with the ways in which you choose consciousness or refuse consciousness, then you absolutely, A, have absolutely no time to think about other people and what they're thinking about you. But you also have no space to judge other people because you've been there. You've done that. And you could probably teach them a few things. Oh, you want to do that? You want to avoid seeing in that way? Well, I've got some tricks I could teach you that would help you not see even more if you'd like because, you know, I've done that. So there's no room in your universe for, you know, judging other people, which as human rights we don't, but also not for judging you. So everywhere we've judged ourselves for the silly ways in which we've avoided consciousness, and everywhere we've got so mixed up in the judging of ourselves that we still were avoiding consciousness, could we destroy and uncreate all that? Right, wrong, good, bad, all nine, pod, pock, short, boys, and beyonds. Yeah. Because I remember I was... I told Gary about it the summer I spent on the beach. And I used to take my bicycle every morning and ride to the beach. And little crickety bicycle. And I'd get in the water with a group of senior citizens. And we'd swim in the morning. and then they'd get out the water. I'd be there on the beach, and I wanted to do my meditation. And I had my little crystals, and I had, you know, was there, and they would pass back by on their way to do whatever they do. You know, after 8:30, it was like 7:30 in the morning, at 8:30, they would leave me a cup of coffee, and I'd be there, and it was in Boston, so the sun was coming up over the ocean, and I'm there. And I was thinking about all this stuff, and that's why I love that, you know, that tool, who does this belong to? Because I would think about all this stuff, about having to wash my car, and about having to walk the dog, and about having to, you know, and then I'd be really bummed out, because A, I didn't have a dog or a car at the time, but that's not even the worst part. That's not the worst part. B, I'd be like, oh, frick, 20 minutes have passed by. Now the people are going to start, you know, I have to get to the meditating part. You know, our meditation, it was. So then I would be, you know, I'd spend 10 minutes chastising myself for not being able to meditate. I must have skipped that the page in the book where it says, you know, and then you breathe deeply and something like that. And then I'd realize, oh, my goodness, I'm still not meditating. Okay, forget that. Let me go back to the meditating. Then another 20 minutes would go by and another 20 minutes would go by. And what I did finally realize and laughed about is that the meditation and coming to access, when Gary talks about a walking, talking meditation, right, that the meditation was actually the whole experience, was actually the pedaling on the way there, you know, was the waking up at the beach, was the giving myself that time there. And enjoying that, and that I didn't have to force feed consciousness, because I was already being it, except when I was trying to be it. And then I was just going into judgment. So everywhere we're already being consciousness, and we're not recognizing that, because, you know, Dane says, if you recognize it, it actually expands. So everywhere we're already being consciousness, and then we, you know, set that time aside in the day when we're going to be consciousness, but we've already been it all day, and then we don't do it right, so then we're not being consciousness, we're judging ourselves. Can we destroy it and create all of that? And recognize how amazing we are, really, and how conscious we are, and how those little glitches, and find the little bit of the humor, and when we are so cool that we could choose something like unconsciousness every now and again. You know what I mean? It's like, how fabulous are we that we've got all these cards in our deck? So everything that is, and everywhere we're judging ourselves instead of celebrating ourselves for that, can we destroy and uncreate all that? Yeah, right, wrong, good, bad, all nine, pod, fuck, short, boys, and beyonds. Because we are here. There's a lot of people that aren't here. But can you imagine how strange we must really be to, like, all the people we grew up with, and all in our families, and our friends, quote unquote, and our colleagues at work, and our neighbors, and the guys in this drugstore, who he can't figure out why you're always so friendly and so happy, right? And so cheerful. And how many lives we change and don't stand around taking, you know, testimonials every time we pass someone. And, you know, the glimmer of hope that we are all over the world for people. Can we recognize that for a second? Okay. So everything that doesn't allow us to recognize that, and everywhere we're not aware of that, and everywhere we're waiting for someone else to tell us that. Well, I just did, so you're all set now, right? You've got it. You could tape this. Susie's going to give you the tape, so in case you forget, you could just play that back. I'm happy to say everyone's name, too, just so that you feel like it's for you personally, right? Pinja. No, my little pine nut. Anyway, so everywhere we're not recognizing that. Let's destroy it and create all that. Sorry about that. Right, wrong, good, bad, all nine, pop, pop, short, boys, and beyonds. Because the reality is that there really is nobody like you on the planet. Just is. I mean, and there we go with another access to that whole competition thing. Like, so let me just tell you about the competition thing. And I'm working on it. I don't get it. I'm working on getting it so that I'm not, you know, the effect of it. But I might just have skipped over being the effect of it. But so in Italy, right, well, I'm sure it's the only country where competition ever existed on the planet. Yeah. Sweden, they don't do that. That's actually why I came. The air quality here is really good, I understand. We've got a lot of pollutants in Rome. there were these, there was a, the, but I was used to hold Bars exchanges. I'd be the only one there, and I'd read through my Foundation manual, because when I started, Bars was part of Foundation, right? And then eventually a couple of people would come, I'd run some Bars, I did some Foundation classes, and then I had other people to play with in Italy, in Italian, all in Italian, right? I taught my first Foundation class in English like a year ago. It was amazing. I was like, wow, I really speak English pretty well. And people got my jokes in English. It's like, it's so funny that you guys are laughing, because it's like, I do the same jokes in Italian, and people are like, mm-hmm. They're like, mm-hmm. There she goes with that accent again. So I did my first Foundation in English. But these people were like, okay, who does she think she is? They started doing this, accusing me of this competition thing, and they started talking about percentages, and they started talking about all this stuff, and it was like so weird to me, because I had never thought about any of that. I just was like, we got to get access out, and the only way to do it is to translate stuff, so I'm going to be translating in my Italian, and get it out. And they were pretty mean to me. And you know, Carrie asked me this morning, did you buy what they were saying? And I was like, no. And she was like, well, how did that feel? And I was like, well, it sort of felt pretty normal. Like, people being jerks and, not getting you and presenting their opinion and their point of view. And she said, did you ever think that they were right? And I said, you know what? I had been doing Axis just a little while. And that's what I'm talking about, the mind chatter, the stuff that I got. And I didn't care. Somewhere they were right in their universe, but I didn't care. Because I was like, I'm not interested in that. And I haven't felt wrong in a really long time. And whatever you guys are talking about is making me feel wrong. So I'm not interested. And I hadn't mentioned it to Gary, although, of course, he's like so psychic. He was like, okay, Cass, what's going on? And so, and he was like, no, they're wrong. You're correct. Access is not about that. And, you know, I will, you know, bitch slap them. And I was like, oh, no, don't do that. Because, you know, you want people to like you, right? So you don't want to be mean and you don't want to get people. That's another thing. So he said, what part of what people are accusing you of is what they're doing themselves? I was like, wow, I did read that, and I do actually facilitate that, but I didn't really think it was true. what he said to me, which was really quite interesting, is and I had never heard it before that day, except about 20,000 times before, was, if it makes you feel light, it's the truth. If it makes you feel heavy, it's a lie. Damn, I forgot about that. Does it make you feel light? Not negative. That's a no. So this light and heavy thing has been amazing to me. And when I got that, you know, people accuse you of what they're doing. Every time I get a tool, it just frees me up. It frees me up again. It frees me up from being the effect of anyone dumping their stuff on me. You know, there's a gal. She came to a class in Rome, in Italy, an ESB class, and I was having a luncheon meeting with Dane and Susie was there, and she. She wanted, I guess, something else from Dane's, his attention or something like that. And, you know, you probably see me a little friendly. I've got the bitch thing, too. I could do that. Not to harm, just like I'm just, I do business. So I'm like, so I did one of those, okay, I need you there for a second so I can finish this and get back to my work. And she made a huge thing out of it. She was in the class. She brought it up. And I'm translating, so like I'm on stage, right, translating. And I... So I can't, like, you know, go hide or anything. It's like, you know, and she's a horrible, and she's a... And I didn't have any space in my universe, you know, to go into judgment of me about it, to go into judgment of her about it. And that dumber than dirt thing was really cool at the time. I was just like, wow, like you're looking at a bird that's, like, really got these feathers and stuff, and she was, like, up on the table, and, like... And I was like, wow, isn't this interesting? And she was like... And I was like, wow, I was just, you know, present. I didn't go anywhere. And then the next morning came, and in the hallway, she said to me, Cass, I should have won an Oscar for my role, for my interpretation yesterday in class. And I was like, and she was like, I acted as if you had done it. It was really me. She went into this whole thing. And I was just so relaxed. I relaxed, my whole body relaxed. And I was like, God bless you, Access. Bless me for not having gone. Can you imagine, like, 3 years prior to that, I would have gone into the whole wrongness of me. Organized this class for Dane. I've ruined it for this woman. She's come. She'll probably never come back to Access again. That's my fault. And how horrible of an organizer and a welcome kind that I never. I could have gone into a whole. Believe me, I mean, you couldn't possibly be more mental than I was. I had a whole, you know, dictionary of stuff I could have thrown at myself, and I didn't have any place for that to attach to, and it wasn't even real. And so, so everywhere where we've gone into the wrongness of us because of somebody else's shit, let's just say it, right? Somebody else's head trip that they try to put on us and we buy it as real, as opposed to knowing that people do weird stuff because they do it, because they can, as Gary says. And say it again? Exactly, energetically as well. And everywhere we bought that is real. Could we destroy it and create all that? Yeah, right, wrong, good, bad, all nine podpucks, so, short boys and meons. And also I was looking at, you know, her and thinking, wow, yeah, have I done that anywhere in my life? And that's what I love about Access. It's all about you. This is like, you know, another thing Gary said to this gal, one of the gals who was like, at me there. And she said to him, don't you see me on the phone one time? I am doing everything for consciousness. I'm being conscious in my life and I'm doing it. Don't you see me? And Carrie was like, sweetie, only you know when you're being conscious. All I can do is show to you where you could make some different choices, that where you're making choices that are not conscious, and where you could make different choices. Only you know when you're being walking the walk instead of just talking the talk. Which is amazing. Only we really know that. Isn't it true? Only we know. I mean, because people would see me from the outside, you know, 8 years ago, 9 years ago. It's like, oh, she's got everything. She's got a nice-looking husband. He's an architect. She lives in this big, beautiful home. She speaks a few languages. She's throwing parties, and she's fabulous. I was freaking dying, and nobody saw it, right? And so only you know when you're dying. Only you know when you're not being true to you. Only you know when you're not being present. Is any of this helpful?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Cool. Yeah. Yeah, I figured, you know, I know. I was, you know, I've been like that, tense like that. And just yesterday, I wanted to say that it was Joachim. I was going to the bathroom. I stop, and he's standing there. And I stand in front of him, and he's does some energy work on my back, and I had been working at the computer, and my whole body relaxed, right? And I remembered what that was, like my whole body relaxing, and it's like this, you know, space between the molecules and cells, and I was like, why? Another one of those things, why do we take so long to get back to that, to who we are? Like, that's what my body likes, that's who my body is. So, you know, and I was like, smart body, that you start, I could have gone into that why, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, so smart body that you decided to go this way to the bathroom instead of that way to the bathroom and stop here, you know. And it's done that before for me. It's done that with that lovely Purnell, the 16-year-old gal from Denmark, right? Yeah, one morning in Rome, and I just said, my body just went to her, and she was like, shh. And it was like, oh, see, the air is better up here, I'm telling you, in the Scandinavia. So all the tension that we carry around, and I asked myself yesterday, as I have before, every time you ask yourself these questions and you're different, the answer's different, right? Because these tools are basic tools, right? And every time we use the tools, if we're someone else, as we are, every time we do this class, every time we wake up in the morning, hopefully we're someone else because we've been working with questions and we know questions create and they change you. So, you know, who does this belong to is like a huge new tool every day. You know, I love this dumber than dirt thing. It's like every day, you know, would an infinite being choose this? Every day, living the question, not the answer, is a huge new tool. Because it's like different today than it was yesterday. I get it more, right? So every time that that I relax my body too, that I allow relaxation in my body, it feels like the first time. And it feels in this in space around the cells. And I ask myself, how much energy do we use to hold that tension in place? And that's exactly what happens to me when I relax. I start yawning, and I'm like, these cells are tired of all that tension to hold this image or whatever it is in place. So everywhere we're using all that energy to hold something in place that is not serving us, to hold the tension in place, to hold the image in place, to hold the lies, the not us in place. On three, can we just relax in for a second and relax our bodies and allow that space between the molecules and between our shoulder blades? So, yeah. So, one, two, three. Wow, that was lovely, guys. Thanks. Yeah. Somebody didn't do it? You want to do it again? One, two, three. Still let some of that tension go. Cool. That feels really nice up here, too. Thank you. That's cool. Thank you. Yeah. So, does anyone have any questions? Or I work in politics, too. I run a bed and breakfast. I've got a lovely bed and breakfast in Rome in a 1923s villa. With my husband, with my sister-in-law, which is why I can be here because we switch weeks. And I am actually the chair of American Democrats in Italy. So I have different chapters, a few thousand people, and, you know, maybe almost five, maybe over 5,000 people that, you know, look to me. I'm their president. And I work, you know, full-time for Access, and I run, and I do classes. And I would never tell non-humanoids this. Right, I just usually tell them just one thing, because they, you know, then they project all that. Oh, you must be really tired. And I look in the mirror, and I'm like, and, oh, you must be really. And I'm like, yeah, I do feel a little tired. So I never tell them that. Yeah. Oh no, 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 no. I never tell anybody everything, because they're like, oh, you couldn't possibly be. Because then if you know, if you're 5 minutes later, you miss a phone call or something like that. Well, that's because you got too much going on, right? So. So, and what can I add to my life? Always adding stuff to my life. I love when people ask me, oh, and I also freelance, and I've been doing it for about 15 years, actually, in audiovisual. I used to have a production, television production company, and now I sort of do a business-to-business section of a festival, although I think that that's in the past now. But so I do a lot, and I talk a lot to Gary about consciousness and politics, and no more politics as usual, which I'm working on with Chitisa Voman. And what I want to say about politics and the thousandth person in consciousness is that as soon as that happened, I was in North Carolina at the Democratic National Convention where we sort of nominated Barack Obama as our candidate. As soon as that thousandth mark hit, his opponent started making all these statements where, as Gary said, exactly what he was thinking was coming out of his mouth, and he was receiving the accolades that he deserved, you know. I mean, I could go into details, you know, he never mentioned that, he's got all these, there's all these Americans overseas in, you know, war zones, and he never totally mentioned them. Could care less. He got caught on tape saying that, you know, half the population he could care less about since they'll never vote for him, which is, you know. And so it was just hysterical. I wrote an article about it, you know, consciousness in politics. I do a column. So I just was saying to Gary, you are so hysterical, because exactly what you know, that it's happening. Consciousness is in politics is happening. So, and as humanoids, we're totally not satisfied with 1,000, right? We're totally going toward the 10,000 people truly functioning from consciousness so that we are and can change the planet, correct? Yes? Okay, you're not satisfied, are you? No, okay, cool. Okay, cool. So I do a lot of stuff, and I do it with ease, and I don't, I was a control freak, and I'm a recovering control freak. You know, I sometimes have, you know, whatever those slipbacks, but I'm working on it. And so I'm not able to control anything doing all that stuff, you know. It's more like using the tools of consciousness and access, asking when you wake up, okay, where do I need to put my energy today, you know, and who requires me, and can I send it to them energetically, or do they actually need a phone call, and, you know, and willing to be wrong, and willing to say, I'm really, really sorry, I didn't, you know, get to you, what can I do to make up for the damage done, and I'm just having a lot of fun with the tools, and they're working for me and for my life, and I'm having ease and amusement with myself, so if that's helpful to you, I'm really happy. Yeah. Does anyone have any questions? Sure. Yeah. I got a stick for you. I know I do. There we go. Tell me your name too. That'd be great.
My name is Helen. And
still,
yes. And what you explained in your experience, I got to thinking about my life. And where I judge me quite a lot, and that's with my kids, how I act with my kids, my small kids, who is just 3.5 and 5. And I'm really good at judging myself when it comes to the illnesses that my kids have. My son has, the youngest has asthma, and both kids had eczema and so on. And I'm just continuously judging me not to be aware enough what to do with it. Mm. And what have I put into them so they have created this illness and
right.
So on and so on. So I just, I would like to have some ease with that.
Yeah.
And, because I know the more I think like that, the less I can do.
Exactly. And that's the cute part. That's where you say, how cute am I? That I'm, instead of spending this time asking any questions that would give any kind of clarity, I'm spending this time judging me. Mm. And how cool am I? I can do that. And now in the next 10 seconds, what do I choose? Because the thing about the judgment is, and the thing about being in, like I talked about the experience on the bus, about being in other people's heads, is that doesn't, and when you get off the bus, you've done absolutely nothing. You've been uncomfortable. You've held some tension in your body, and you haven't been in your universe. So nothing. Your body is like, you know, entities could have come in because you weren't even there. You were like all up in somebody else's world, right? And you haven't moved anything forward in your own life. So everywhere we're you know, time doesn't exist. So where we're using the space for judgment as opposed to questions and not bringing anything forward and wondering why our lives are stuck, can we destroy and uncreate all that and choose differently? Yeah? Right, wrong, good, bad, all nine, pod, poc, short, boys, and beyond. So with the first thing that came to my awareness when you mentioned the asthma and the skin stuff was the earth, right? So that's just one thing I wanted to say. But the other thing was, you know, everywhere where we're not asking questions, where we're making conclusions and putting fancy little, stuff at the bottom. I remember one gal, after an intro with me, she said, I love that question thing. Even the question mark is sexy. It's much more sexy than a period. It's got the period in there, but then it's got this curvy thing, and then there's space. And that space is us. And then I was like, wow, she got a lot of this intro. This is, I was like, I should have charged for that intro. But, you know, that what did I do to them? I don't remember exactly how you put it. What did I put in them that they chose that, right? That's sort of not like a question. Like, because you've already, and it's cute. I've done it. I've got a list of them for you. If you like that kind of question, fish them right out the trash can for you. But that's sort of already, right, assuming that it's you who have done something. And, you know, they're on loan. Right, they came to you, the children. They chose you. However, they came in with a whole bunch of stuff and agendas and stuff. And what would it be like if they actually are choosing some of that stuff just to get you to ask some questions?
Yeah.
Is that light?
Yeah.
Yeah. So would you be willing to step up to that?
Yes.
Yeah, and everything that doesn't allow that, destroy and create all that. Right, we're in good bed, all nine pug, show, poison, violence. Have you done level 2 and 3?
No.
Okay, so there's lots of information, and it's always coming through. Gary got some information about impetigo, I think it's called, with the, you know, he gets information about body stuff. The more people that bring it up. So what also do you have to contribute to the knowledge base that is access that then keeps growing with what do you and your kids have to contribute to that?
Yeah.
Everything that doesn't allow that, destroying and create all that.
And I also get frustrated that I'm not moving ahead fast enough. Moving ahead fast enough, getting consciousness fast enough so I can help my kids fast enough. So I put all the... every excuse I can, not moving ahead fast enough.
You know, that consciousness fast enough thing is funny, because most of us are moving, you know, all of us, yeah, that feels lighter, all of us have slowed ourselves down to various degrees to accommodate the reality that's around us. Dane said that, you know, another brilliant thing from Dane, you never get frustrated with truly slow people. Because you know, you're like really patient with them. You ever notice that? So it's the lie that pisses you off. And the lie that you're slow. It's a lie. Because I don't think slow people actually know they're slow. Yeah. So if you're thinking you're moving too slow, you're probably jumping somehow. That's what I got when you said that. I was like, she just jumped way fast and then came back. And like, just to keep yourself busy while the other people are, you're like, hey, how are you? Hey, you know, you like come back and forth, right? Does that feel right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So everywhere you bought the lie that you're slow when you're actually doing this back and forth thing so that you can keep yourself entertained while the other people catch up, would you be willing to destroy it and create all that?
Right,
yes. Right, good man. All 9 5 pucks, short boys and beyonds. Okay, cool.
Thank you.
Cool, thank you. Yeah. Thanks for the comment. Anybody else? Okay, cool. It feels like it's time for Dainey. Is it? How are we doing on time? The time I know doesn't exist, but we do have a sort of... Yes, darling. My lunch mates. I love you guys. Did anyone know that she has an island? All her own, yes. Gotham City. It used to be Batman and Robin's island. It's Gotham City. Gothenburg, yeah? Yeah.
You're welcome.
That's hers.
Bring your goats with you.
Bring your goats, and she'll make the cheese and the pinja with the pinja, roasted pinja. That's tell me, darling.
Yes. Maybe this is the same question as you have. There are people that take medicines. Mm-hmm. And they get these side effects, type skin problems or depressions and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And that's my question. How can we do about that?
Something specific?
Well, I don't think they are aware that they have side effects. Or maybe
these people in your life, or is it you?
No, the people I meet, or people that comes to me sometimes.
Right. I meet a lot of people that are on the wrong prescription. Does that ever happen to you? You meet people and you're like, you didn't take your meds today for sure, right? Does that ever happen to you? Yeah. You're talking about people who get side effects from drugs.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's funny you say that, because what comes up for me when you say that is people who are actually somehow looking for the side effect and who haven't been able to attract it any other way. So the slim chance of that, they're able to tap into that slim chance of that side effect. You know, not everyone has the same reactions, right? And
no.
Get that. I say that because I say it. And the energy feels a little bit like a girlfriend of mine who was I guess you would say, an alcoholic. But the funny thing is, I could drink a bottle of wine and should have one sip and be into that side effect. You know, so A, is it a side effect? Is it the effect they're trying to get? And are they pulling that out of it in any way? Just what comes up to me for that. Yeah. Does any of that feel light to you? If it doesn't, please don't buy it.
No, I don't buy it. I just wonder how, like you said, if they take it in to themselves.
Right.
So it's weird how
the thing is the no drugs thing in the Ten Commandments, no drugs of any kind, and I read that for years, smoking pot and also smoking cigarettes. What I get about it is it's the choice for to not be conscious of something. You know what I mean? So for me, that's what the pot was. That's what the cigarettes were. They were a choice to not be conscious of something. I know a lot. I mean, there's not many Americans here, but in the States, people use alcohol a lot more than in Europe. To not be conscious, you know. So I always, I live in Italy. We have wine, you know. Have you ever heard Gary and Dane talk about they started drinking when they came to Italy? They came for a class in Italy. I gave them wine for lunch, of course. Hello. So and so now they've sort of adapted that. Shannon was like, you know, my father started drinking because of you when you came to Italy. When he came to Italy.
That was the
no water, right? Oh, that was the problem, right? fizzy water, and so I noted. So it's about the choice to even the aspirin or the anti-inflammatory is about the choice to not perceive the intensity of the inflammation, or you know what I mean, or the headache, or whatever that is, right? So, and we could probably do that just by asking for whatever it is not to inflame. And so, to take drugs consciously would be to ask your body, can we do this on our own? Or would you like me to give you a jump start with this, and then we continue it on our own, or something like that, as opposed to just, let me not feel the pain. You know what I mean? In taking the drugs, and that's, people talk about, okay, that says no drugs in access, so what about insulin? And, Anna was talking about Ada, her daughter, and how they're able to control a bit the insulin levels in their body. And I've got a dear friend in Italy who I want to say plays with her levels a bit with that. So it's not just hard drugs. It's not just illegal drugs, let's say. It's all kinds of drugs. And aware that drugs have side effects. One of them is unconsciousness. And others are some of the things that you're talking about. So is any of that helpful?
Yes.
Cool.
Thank you.
Awesome. How's it getting better than that? Okay. All right. Okay. Anybody want to know anything else? Talk about anything else? Okay. Well, thank you. Yes. She was like, "You're gonna end?"
What would it take for you to get on the TED.com?
Yeah.
Those symposiums where people speak about
different
things. You know TED. I do know TED. I do. I like totally walked in here. I was like, "This is like TED, dude. She should totally be on TED."
Yeah. Cool. So everything that doesn't allow that, Shannon said, can we destroy it and create all that? And on three, send that energy to the universe. Cast on 10. 1, 2, 3. Cast on 10. 1, 2, 3. Cool. Awesome. Thank you for that. Awesome. Thank you. Y'all are beautiful. Really, really beautiful. Thank you for the listening and for the energy. That's great. Thank you. Thank you. Helen, would you help me?